Hi, I'm Bob Bourdon, a negotiation, mediation, and conflict resolution expert who founded Harvard Law School's Negotiation and Mediation Clinical Program, where I was a professor for many years.
And I'm Dr. Joel Salinas, a behavioral neurologist and scientist. Together, we wrote Conflict Resilience, Negotiating Disagreement Without Giving Up or Giving In. If you've ever found yourself avoiding a tough conversation, dreading a disagreement with a loved one, or feeling like conflict is an unmanageable storm, this book is for you.
In our book, we introduce the concept of conflict resilience, the ability to sit with and grow from disagreement. Instead of seeing conflict as a battle to win or a mess to avoid, we show you how to navigate it with skill, confidence, and even a little curiosity.
Our collaboration, brain scientist meets law professor and conflict resolution expert, gave us a unique lens to explore what is going on in the brain when we are in conflict, to how we can better handle it, both in our professional interactions, but also in our day-to-day lives with friends, family, and neighbors.
In this moment where polarization is higher than ever, and when it's super easy to cultivate cocoons of comfort, we thought it was important to remind people of the benefits that honest, direct, and courageous engagement of conflict can bring to this moment.
That's right. So often, we feel it's easier to just avoid disagreement or fight back. But a lot is lost, both at a business, financial level, but also at a relational level. And we aim to show you how engaging conflict will build connection and create value in every aspect of your life.
Our book offers a new framework called Name, Explore, and Commit. And today, we share 5 key insights from the book.
Insight number 1. Your brain treats conflict like a physical threat. When faced with conflict, our brain reacts as if we're under physical attack. The same neural circuits that process physical pain are involved when we experience social rejection or disagreement. This can trigger our fight, flight, freeze, fawn, fester responses, making us either overly aggressive, avoidant, or stuck in rumination. From a Darwinian perspective, these 5 responses could have a lot of value when under attack with an existential threat. But in the context of modern day-to-day relationships with family, friends, colleagues, these brain responses designed to protect us could backfire. The brain's automatic effort to protect us from an experience of discomfort in the moment prevents us from taking a more considered response that might serve our longer-term interests better. The key to conflict resilience is recognizing these automatic reactions, being able to pause and assess whether the in-the-moment threat is real or just discomfort, and then being able to deploy strategies to sit with the discomfort because of what we call the bigger, better offer, the BBO, on the other side of the conflict.
Insight number 2, conflict avoidance makes things worse. As Joelle just said, many of us dodge conflict because it feels easier in the moment. And the truth is, it is easier in the moment. The problem is that when we avoid the discomfort of disagreement by walking away, canceling, or just changing the topic, in most cases, we're only amplifying the problem over time. It's understandable why you might avoid hard conversations with your cousin about conflicting political views, for example. You care about the relationship, and you don't want the disagreement to hurt it. The trouble is that while this might get us through Thanksgiving dinner, in the long run, the avoidance makes us less connected to that cousin whom we otherwise loved when we were kids. Over time, prolonged avoidance makes us feel that we don't even know each other. Spending time with them feels painful and fake, and eventually the connection fades. The instinct to avoid in order to preserve the relationship actually ends up being the long-term kill. What's particularly tough is that our society is set up to aid and abet the avoidance tendency. Social media, demographic changes, trigger warnings, and cancel culture. They all make it super easy to avoid and just hang out with those who think like us. The upshot, as we see in our polarized world, is that we dehumanize and become ever more distant. Just like avoiding exercise weakens muscles, avoiding difficult conversations weakens our ability to navigate disagreements. By learning to name what's happening, our emotions, triggers, and fears, we can take control instead of letting conflict control us.
Insight number 3, curiosity is your best conflict tool. We tend to enter conflict assuming we already know the other person's perspective, but true conflict resilience comes from curiosity. Instead of debating or defending, try explore. Ask open-ended questions, listen deeply, and seek to understand before being understood. When people feel heard, even difficult conversations become more productive. We get that it's easy to say, be curious, and that it's actually hard to do when we feel like we really do know what the other side thinks. In our book, we talk about the psychological biases that tend to make us certain about how others we disagree with think, even when the truth is we are often missing a lot of information that's important and that could unlock the door to how we think and how they think, what matters to them, how to persuade them, and how better to connect with them. But we also spend time sharing real-life examples of how cultivating curiosity leads to breakthroughs in terms of relationships, negotiations, and deal-making. As we explore the deeper perspectives of those with whom we disagree, the possibilities for connection grow, even if we still don't see eye to eye with each other.
Insight number 4, discomfort is not damage. One of the biggest myths about conflict is that it's inherently bad or destructive. In our professional work, we are constantly frustrated when people talk about, quote, eliminating or reducing conflict. Healthy conflict is good. It's a sign that folks feel free enough to be themselves and that there's enough diversity in the room to make life interesting and vibrant. Disagreement itself doesn't have to lead to division. Tension can actually lead to growth, both personally and in our relationships. We talk about how to stay in the conflict to achieve this bigger, better offer. And we offer evidence-based tools to help you to decide when to commit to stay engaged and when to draw the line between discomfort for growth and submitting yourself to ongoing harm or trauma. It's a hard line to draw, but an important one.
Insight number 5, resilience is a skill you can build. Conflict resilience isn't something that we're naturally good at. Each of us may be more or less conflict resilient by dint of our upbringing, personality, and disposition. But whether you think you're super conflict resilient or completely avoidant, you can get better with practice. Through small daily actions like pausing before reacting, naming your emotions, and shifting from defensiveness to curiosity, you can transform conflict from a source of stress into an opportunity for connection and change. The more you practice, the more you'll start to see improved relationships, greater connection, and better outcomes. And the more you practice, the easier it becomes.
Thanks for listening. We are confident that conflict resilience will provide usable and scientifically validated strategies to negotiate disagreements with greater confidence and clarity.
Whether it's in your workplace, your family, or your community, learning to sit with and grow from conflict can transform your relationships and your life. And at this moment of extreme polarization in our country, communities, workplaces, schools, we can't imagine a more important skill set worth investing your time and energy into.
You can find Conflict Resilience wherever books are sold. Happy reading.